Jalen Jacoby is brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven.
And now, Jalen and Jacoby.
He is Jalen Anthony Rose.
Doe.
I'm David Jacoby.
And on the cool check-in.
Together with Jalen and Jacoby, what exactly is it that we do?
We give the people what they want.
Thank you for tuning in to the podcast exclusive episode outside of the confines of television restrictions. If you want to hear us talk about last night's win for the Suns and them clinching the playoffs, if you want to hear us talk about what the 49ers are going to do with the 3 spot, what we think the Bengals will do with the 5 spot, what the Lions will do with the 7 spot, you can listen to the other episode that came out today. But Jalen, I want to dig a little bit deeper into the Lions, because you wanted Tua so bad last year at 3. They drafted the cornerback from Ohio State. That was the last time I heard his name, to be honest with you, all season. And Tua went on to, you know, struggle a little bit, but show some flashes of being a franchise quarterback. And this year, at the 7th spot, there's 5 quarterbacks that are going to go in the first round, potentially 6. But Jalen, you know right now, they're going to disappoint you. They're not going to pick a quarterback. You know that, right?
I don't know that. And let me just tell you this. If Tua and Jared Goff were both stocks and you had a blank check, a blank canvas of a roster that you were trying to build, and you looked at how much money Goff is going to make this year and how much money Tua is going to make this year, who would you pick to be your quarterback?
Not even close. It's not even worth discussing. That's not even a question.
So that just lets you know how bad that decision was. Because we still don't have our franchise quarterback, yet we just lost the second best quarterback in the history of the franchise in Matthew Stafford to the Rams, who won a grand total of 0 playoff games.
I just want you to emotionally just be prepared for them to trade out for the Patriots to draft Trey Lance, then him win 4 Super Bowls and play there for 15. I want you just to be emotionally prepared for this, because they're going to trade back and like pick the lineman from Northwestern. That's what they're going to do. That's how it's going to work. So just get ready for that now. That's exactly how this is going to go.
So I took a lot of, you know, Lions. I'm not the only diehard Lions fan. And in Michigan, Jacoby, we have our local radio and TV affiliates and people who follow the team and, you know, are in the locker room every single day that I know they have an intimate pulse on the team. But I got to tell you something. Football and basketball, I fell in love with each simultaneously. Super Bowl Sunday used to be on the weekend of my birthday, January 30th. Love football, play football, and I've been a diehard Lions fan. And I'm trying to tell you, the thing that we always don't get right is quarterback. Mm-hmm. Like, don't overthink this. That's the thing that we don't get right. It's quarterback. And I hope Jared Goff has a good season. And I know he has this year and or next year at a high cap number to play quarterback. But you see what Philadelphia did with Carson Wentz's high quarterback number?
Yep.
They let him go.
Bye.
And I believe healthy Carson Wentz is better than Jared Goff.
Absolutely.
And so if they're making those moves, I have to be a Lions fan, front office person, and say there is no harm taking Trey Lance or Justin Fields if they're sitting there. It would be asinine not to.
Well,
who's going to be our quarterback? Who's going to be the 49ers quarterback this Sunday?
First of all, Jalen, that's a ridiculous question, because we don't even know if the world's going to exist on Sunday.
Correct.
We don't know if the world's going to exist. Anything can happen. So, like, nothing is promised. The next minute of your life is not promised. Just live in the moment, like Kyle Shanahan.
Correct. So, if that's the case, it ain't like I'm watching my team at practice and I'm Dr. Jerry Buss, or and I'm looking down at the, we got Magic and we got Worthy. I'm looking at the Chiefs, they got Mahomes. You know, I'm like, is we doing that? No. Are we looking at our team like Aaron Rodgers is our guy? Did somebody say that?
Mr. Rose, I think we're going to have to move on from the Lions talk, because I think I just wanted to bring it up briefly because I know they're going to disappoint you. You know, I know they're going to disappoint you. Now, one thing I find interesting is everybody talks about Teddy Bridgewater going to the Broncos. I don't think that means that the Broncos aren't going to draft a quarterback. I could see the Broncos drafting a quarterback either in their spot or moving up. And I could also see the Carolina drafting a quarterback as well. Carolina's right there. So they could get Trey Lance. And I know they just acquired Darnold, but I don't think there's anything wrong with having Sam Darnold and Trey Lance on your football team. Especially given the fact that Trey Lance hasn't played. He played one game this year.
So let me ask you this. See here's where it goes back to the Lions. So let me get this logic right. So hold on. Let me get this logic right. The Green Bay Packers have gone to the NFC Championship back-to-back season. One without Love and one with them. Right? So clearly drafting him didn't stop them from meeting their goals. Their defense didn't get a stop when they needed it the most. So they now have what they consider and hope is some sort of a backup quarterback. So you're now telling me a guy like Sam Darnold can go number one overall to the Jets, show some promise, team struggles, didn't really have weapons. He goes to Carolina. Carolina is going to roll the dice and see what they have in him. So you're saying that Carolina is going to smartly also add another quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
That's a young quarterback. To actually see which one, if either one of those guys can be a future franchise quarterback. Is that what you just said?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense to me, especially when you don't have Bridgewater in the quarterback room anymore. It makes perfect sense to me.
So why can't the Lions right there.
You can get up with Trey Lance or Justin Fields. They can have a choice of Trey Lance, Mac Jones, or Justin Fields.
So if you and I know that this is going to be Matthew Stafford's last year, if you and I know that he has a propensity to get injured, no shots or shade, it's just facts. I like Matthew Stafford. I'm just saying, like, you draft Tua or you draft Justin Herbert. You draft whoever your scouts say we need to draft somebody for the future. So you don't do that last year, Jacoby. You're saying Carolina should do it this year, and you're still saying the Lions won't do it again this year? Oh, my goodness.
So there's a spot that no one's talking about that's pretty pivotal, and that is the Miami Dolphins, right? Let's imagine that the Pitts goes four. Pitts goes four, and the Falcons don't do anything dumb. And then at five, there's a choice between Sewell and Chase that the Bengals have to make. And then you've got number six. The Dolphins, I don't think Pitts will fall to them. I don't think they're going to get Sewell, although that's certainly an option. I mean, they could go protector with Sewell, or they could have a playmaker, and they could choose from Heisman Trophy winner Smith, his teammate Waddle. I don't think Chase will fall that far. But they could also trade back for a team that's quarterback hungry that wants to jump up and get whoever the 49ers didn't pick. There's a lot of options for them, a lot of flexibility for this pick that they've got through the Eagles. What do you think they should do? What do you think they will do?
All building circumstances aren't created equal. And one of the things that the Miami Dolphins did is they started to build out their roster before they took a quarterback. That's why last year there were certain games where special teams, defense, and offense actually scored touchdowns.
Yep, the defense is great.
So they were building out their offensive line, and they were preparing themselves to have Tua be their franchise quarterback. So since you've done that, now you get him a weapon. That now you get him a weapon. And if you think you can get that same weapon dropping a few picks, do so. But if you there at six, you go big. You go Jamar, you go Chase, you go Heisman Trophy winner Smith, you go Waddle, you go big.
If you had a choice between Waddle and Smith, who would you pick?
Waddle.
I think so too.
I think he was on track to have the same year before he got injured.
Exactly. I don't think, and Smith, talking to Shannon Sharp, literally admitted that he wouldn't be the Heisman Trophy winner if Waddle was available to
him. Yeah.
So, and then we'll see from there. It's going to be a fun night. It's going to be a really fun night because there's going to be five new teams with new quarterbacks, and then there's going to be Lions with like a new guard from Northwestern after they traded back. And I would love to see the Patriots get a quarterback. I would love to see it because Cam Newton's not the long-term solution there. And they spent more money in free agency than I think that they've ever spent. So there's something brewing there that I think that they pick up a quarterback. I really do.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes!
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Jalen, two things I want to mention before we move on. First, baseball is back. And so are your favorite teams and players. Catch the best of the bigs all season on ESPN Plus with more than 170 live MLB games featuring every star and every team throughout Major League Baseball. Sign up now at ESPNPlus.com/baseball. And we have something special coming on Monday. You might have heard them talk about it yesterday during the game with Ruco and Van Gundy. ESPN is doing its first ever Marvel-inspired presentation of an NBA game for the Warriors-Pelicans matchup. The telecast is going to integrate elements from an original Marvel story and include iconic heroes like Black Panther, Iron Man, Black Widow, and Captain America. There will be 3D virtual effects, custom graphics, and animations. The traditional telecast will be on ESPN, but you're going to want to check out this Marvel version on ESPN2, ESPN Deportes, and ESPN Plus at 7:30 on Monday for the Pelicans-Warriors game. Make sure you check that one out on ESPN2. It should be a lot of fun. Moving back to the NBA, Jalen, the Celtics have shown promise at points in the season, but mainly been disappointing this season. And right now, they sit at the sixth spot, tied with Miami, potentially going to be in a play-in. So they have the same record in the tiebreaker against Miami. So they're in sixth spot, one game behind Atlanta at the number five spot. They won yesterday against the Hornets, a team they lost to, I believe that was Sunday afternoon. They looked better. And just listen to this, because this is typical of them. Brown, 38 points, 7 rebounds. Tatum, 35 points, 8 rebounds, 8 assists. I don't know what to make of this team, Jalen Rose. And I know that we've talked about their lack of bigs. But do you think they end up in the play-in, or do you think they end up finishing strong and beating out Miami and forcing Miami to go to the play-in?
Well, here's the elephant in the room for the Celtics issues, and they're not mutually exclusive. They need a point guard or primary ball handler that can make the game easier for those two guys you just mentioned.
Shouldn't that be Kemba?
That's not his style. He's never been a flirt with 10 assists type of guard.
Mm-hmm.
He's a scoring guard. He's a shoot first guard. And so to me, that's one of the things that their offense overall struggles with. Marcus Smart is their best passer. And so we talked about their issues at the five spot. I think they have a puncher's chance just because those two guys, Tatum and Brown, can be so dynamic. But playing against teams with productive bigs and they turn the ball over so much and they play one-on-one so much, I wouldn't be surprised, depending on who they play, if the Celtics lose in the first round.
Oh, I wouldn't either. If the standings stay the way they are right now, they're playing the Bucks. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it does a five-game series in the first round.
They are done. Like, they are done.
Yeah, I mean, they in a series, the Bucks is a bad matchup for them. That is a really bad matchup for them. The Bucks are big. They're in trouble. So one time I said to you off wax, I was like, you're going to see major changes to the Celtics in the offseason, right? And then do you remember what your response was?
No, you're not, because they're not going to get rid of Brad, Tatum, Brown, or Marcus Smart.
Kemba? I don't know if the market for Kemba is anything right now, especially considering what he gets paid.
That's why you can't make a major change.
Whew.
That's where I challenged you. And by the way, this ain't... And I know people do this job and do this job for 2 or 3 years, and every time they speak, it's like, I told you so. I don't do that. But here's what I will let you know. Years ago, when Tatum was balling in the playoffs and Markelle Fultz was getting DMPs, and then the Celtics drafted Jaylen Brown, and they saw that Jaylen Brown can ball, I said then, cash in the chips and go get AD. Go get Kawhi. Go get you that all-NBA performer to go with those guys. Don't even play around. Don't even play around. And they did parlay Isaiah Thomas into Kyrie. But he crushed the building because he left without compensation.
I mean, that was the big acquisition. Kyrie Correct. Was the, that was the that was the we are now a championship team acquisition.
Correct. He came through and crushed the building. So when you guys hear what's wrong with the Celtics and their squad, it's Kyrie left without them getting nothing, and that sent them spinning their wheels. And then now all of a sudden you still reaching. You go get Kemba as an all-NBA player. Now he's not an all-star for you, and you still short at the big spot.
And you're watching Terry Rozier have the career year in Charlotte.
Correct. So there can't be any major changes, Jacoby, because you can't move Kemba for value.
And when he was healthy, Gordon Hayward was playing well for them, too. Like they missed that kind of spark, that kind of a player.
Yes. So you can't just keep losing productive players and, you know, not getting anything in return. And Kyrie fleeced them. Kyrie fleeced the Celtics.
He did. That was the move. I think if you're Danny, like me and you both criticized Danny Ainge for having this like war chest of assets and all these draft picks and not coloring up and you know, and changing 425s for 100. But I think in his head, he would say, I did that. I brought in the superstar. I brought in the all NBA player. I brought in the leader guy who can win a playoff series by himself in Kyrie Irving. And we all know what happened there.
So
we all know what happened there.
Is he the leader guy?
Well, I'm not gonna pretend I'm in the locker room, but Kyrie's sort of quirkiness has been well documented.
So it's tough for that to be the leader guy. It's tough for him to be the leader guy. So that means that ultimately that dang, we chose wrong.
Mm-hmm. Well, we got a couple little Celtics things to discuss. Number one, Marcus Smart was fined for threatening a referee. Now, take us behind the curtain. What do you think he could have said to the referee to get fined for threatening him or her?
I'm going to whoop your anus. Or
anus didn't sound better than the other word either.
Oh, then.
No. But I just like the
game,
idea.
Don't let me see you after the game.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. What? Like Marcus Smart said, that was a foul, and the dude probably was like, "Man, stop flopping." He's like, and then this is where the game has changed a lot. Here's behind the curtain in a nutshell. Jacoby drives to the basket. Jaylen hacks Jacoby before like 2000, for sure, like before 2000, when Jaylen hacks Jacoby, Jacoby gets mad at Jaylen.
Mm.
After 2000, Jacoby gets mad at the ref.
like that was a flagrant?
Correct. Well, but it's a few things. Number one, because there's no physical intimidation really allowed after like early 2000s. Like maybe I'll say like 2005. The physicality in the league started to shift after the Pistons won the championship. So it's like about the league, the three times the Pistons won the championship, the league didn't like
it. You know what? That does sound like a very subjective worldview, but I think you're actually right. Like I think those were all pivotal moments.
Yeah, they're pivotal. When we were the Bad Boys and we were extremely physical, that led to the Knicks and the Heat series and led to MJ potentially leaving. The league panicked. They even put the 3-point line in. You know what I'm saying? The line got shorter, the ball changed, everything. Like they panicked. And the same thing happened when the Pistons won in the mid 2000s. The rules for freedom of motion, freedom of movement, that term started to be used. And so I bring you behind the curtain because in Marcus Smart's view, what happens is I would yell at a ref, Hugh Hollins, that was a call. You missed it. And he'd be like, quit flopping, Jalen, or stop crying. And then I might yell back at him too. And then we just keep it moving, and he'll know if he made the call wrong or not. In today's game, Marcus didn't get the call and yells at the refs, hey, man, that was a foul. And the ref's like, come on, Marcus. He's like, come on, man, that wasn't no foul. He's like, man, F you. You know what I'm saying? Screw you. You know what I'm saying? Don't let me catch you. You know what I'm saying? You've been doing that since my rookie year. I can't stand that dude. Every time we play and he the ref, it's always something.
Do you have personal relationships with every ref? Like, or if say you've been in the league for 5 or 6 years, like, do you know every single one and say hi?
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, it's your business too. Yes. Yeah. It's your business. Like, do you know the difference between a $100 bill and a $50 bill? Like, it's your business to know. At first, the sophistication wasn't there, and people that were bots weren't paying attention to it. But smart franchises were paying attention to, like, who caused charges, who caused travel, who caused 3 seconds. And so when you have those refs and Shaq go dunk in the paint, I'm yelling 3 seconds before he even get in there because I know he already thinking about it. You know what I'm saying? Well, so that's kind of how that worked.
A couple things I want to talk to you about transitioning from this ref conversation is Luka Doncic has been criticized over the course of his career, and especially this year, for sort of talking to the refs too much, asking for a call every time he drives, feeling like he gets fouled every time, and sort of losing his focus somewhat because he's so focused on his interaction with the referees rather than trying to put the ball in the basket. How do you feel about that sort of reputation he's garnered?
Join the club. Anybody that says that truly ain't watching or truly don't go to games. As a matter of fact, what you just said right now is the difference between me considering not going to the Mavs game against the Pistons tonight versus I am going to go to the game tonight. What you just said. Because when you're at games, guess what you see, ladies and gentlemen? Everybody complaining about every call each time the whistle gets blown.
Facts.
So, when is the last time you seen somebody get a questionable call and was like, you know what, ref? That was a bad call. I'm going to shoot the free throw with my left hand.
No, it doesn't happen. Only that one commercial. Only right. That one commercial.
Right. You know, I don't even want it. I'm going to just roll the ball out of bounds. Here y'all go, man. Y'all can have it. Like at rec ball. That don't happen. Every time, just remember it when you're watching a basketball game. Each time the whistle blows, each time, people that get the call take a sigh of relief. And they're still complaining about calls that they didn't get. The team that the call went against is complaining about that call and every call that has gone against them so far. And people that don't play will say, I don't know why they're complaining about the call. The ref ain't gonna change it. It's not for that call. It's for the next call. It's for the next game. It's for when I go from being a rookie to being a fifth-year player. When I go from being the sixth best player on the team to the third best player on the team. When we go from a first quarter call to a fourth quarter call. That's where you're creating the relationship and the dialogue. It ain't just about tonight's box score.
Do you think Jokic fouled Zion last night? Did, you know, the Pelicans are down two, ball goes to Zion, he's going to drop step dunk. Jokic is behind him, knocks the ball out of his hands. Some angles looks clean, some angles looks like he hit his wrist. You think it was a call?
The Lakers and society have a king. His name is LeBron. Jalen and Jacoby also have one too. His name is the Joker. Good block.
Good block. That's what I felt like too.
Good block.
It's from some angles, it looks super clean. And one thing I always look at is the opponent's body language. I know Zion isn't the most demonstrative to referees, but he really didn't even say a thing. It's the end of the game. The ball's out of bounds. It's a stoppage of play, so it's not like he has to keep playing. And he didn't really complain to the refs too much. So I feel like if it was all hand, like that one angle looks, then he would have at least said something in such a critical spot.
But also, that's a classic example, too, of when I say it's a tall man's game. See, when you and I go to the park, I can have a computer in my mind of Steph Curry and Kevin Durant's attributes. But when I pick the team, if they have basically the same attributes, I'm taking the taller guy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tall man's game. The hoop's still 10 foot tall. It's not changing. And so based on that, Zion as an undersized big was faced with trying to overpower a taller, longer guy. That's why he didn't get the call in that instance.
And I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again because it came to my head when I was watching the Pelicans yesterday in those whack uniforms. I fully expected Zion to lose some baby fat, to get the trainers, to be in the building, and to sort of like get a nutritionist, and to really slim down and kind of look more like LeBron than like Charles Barkley. You know what I mean? But that hasn't happened. He's gained weight since he got drafted. Like, he's bigger now. Like, are you surprised that Zion has not sort of like slimmed down in his 3 years in the NBA?
Flip this, because I've said this before. Zion and Luka, when they decide to get in shape, those going to be the years that they're serious MVP candidates. And they're going to be people that take my statement and like I'm throwing shots or shade. It's not. I'm actually acknowledging that they're so gifted and they've worked so hard on being so very dominant at what they do. They're just young people that haven't figured out every piece of the chessboard just yet. It takes time. Like right now, I've told myself over the last few months, I'm going to make certain lifestyle changes, you know? I'm going to drink less. I'm going to eat better. I'm going to da-da-da-da. But in my mind, I want to do that first and drop my weight, and then I want to go for strength and start lifting and doing stuff like that, right? So for me, Zion has led the league in points in the paint. And just so you know, shooting from the left wing and the white right wing from three, nobody has made more shots from those spots than Luka. So already in their careers, they're leading the league in dominant spots. Mm-hmm. Luka, both three-point wings, Zion in the paint. So they know where to go get their bread already. So now it's next level. The team gets better. Zion ain't sniffing a play-in. They're actually a playoff team.
They're barely sniffing a play-in anymore.
Right? And Luka ain't, you know, hovering around six, they're in the top four. When those leaps happen, remember Jalen Rose told you. I said the exact same thing when Vlad Guerrero Jr. showed up at camp. He already had them hands. Already had them. But when he dropped that weight, it was over. You see him hit 3 home runs the other night?
Mm-hmm.
I used to say the same thing with Cecil Fielder's son.
Oh, yeah.
And so for Zion, for Luka, when they change their diet, you can tell they're going to need to change their diet. When they're up their nutrition and they look less round and more fit, oh, it's over. And they both averaging 30 already. It's crazy.
I was just really surprised that Zion hasn't slimmed down. You can make all the jokes about food in New Orleans, but I don't really think that's it. I'm just surprised. Like, I mean, you think about all the exercise that they just do as their job. Like, I'm working out like 4 times a week, barely, but it makes a difference. These dudes are every day lifting, running, nutritionist, strength coach. Like, I'm just surprised with all of the resources and assets and nutrition and everything they have at their fingertips that Zion still hasn't trimmed down.
So you're talking about resources. And you're talking about assets. Well, let's talk about some of the things you have resources and assets to. Buy to eat whatever you want, whenever you want.
Yeah.
Order whatever you want from wherever you want. Have as much money to have the chef cook for you as many times as you want. Have as much money and access to eat as many meals a day as you want. Eat all times of day and night that you want. That plays a factor too.
Well, we'll see. And we've got, you know how I've long been trying to warn everybody about the kangaroo apocalypse, right?
Yeah, for years. You've been consistent. There's
kangaroo apocalypse. I don't mess with kangaroos. Kangaroos can
10
fight.
Years in running.
Kangaroos got hands. Kangaroos multiply. And they're just in Australia gathering their strength. Then they're going to learn how to sail boats, and they're going to take over the world. Just remember, we heard that first.
Whoa.
Yeah. That, how do you think they're going to get from Australia to the rest of the world, dog? They got to get over the oceans.
Got it. Good luck with that.
There's an Australian suburb that has been invaded by thousands and thousands of cockatoos. Jalen Rose, what do you think about the cockatoo problem in Australia?
I don't know what a cockatoo is.
Oh.
But I'll tell you what.
It's a bird. It's kind of like a parrot. It's like a white parrot.
So let me tell you something funny. I just had one of my family members, my cousin, actually text me and said he saw Longboy trending on Twitter. And he didn't know if that was about or related to me. So a Longboy, I now see, is what's considered the tallest duck or a version of a duck. Oh. It's really huge. When I was growing up, my family pet nickname from my grandfather, Paramore Hicks Sr., rest in peace. My grandmother, Mary Bell Hicks, rest in peace. My mom, Jeannie Rose. And my branch of the older part of my family, my entire childhood, my nickname is and was Long Boy. Never was called Jalen growing up. Always called Long Boy. I've probably heard my mother call me Jalen maybe the 10 times she got mad at me.
I remember we were in New Orleans, not with Zion, and you had a birthday cake sent to you. And it said, "Happy birthday, Long Boy." And I didn't want to know how you got that nickname. I didn't ask that. I was like, "Is that chocolate or vanilla cake?"
That's a great point. I guess
I didn't ask who it was from. Yeah. I didn't even mention it.
Well, just like you start off as Sean Carter, right? And then you start to earn nicknames like Jay-Z and Hove, right? And then nicknames start to take on a personality of their own. And as I start driving down this street, either we probably should start taking calls or ending the show. because as nicknames start to take their own, as you start to get a little older, Jacoby, it's one thing to be called Long Boy in your family. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
We always have to take calls during the podcast exclusive because we want to hear from you. You are our podcast listeners. So if you have a question for me or Longboy over here, you can call 985-80-JALEN and leave us a voicemail. Anything you want. Some of our best content comes from you all. So call 985-80-JALEN. Ask a question. We'll answer it on the show just like this.
What up, though? Jalen and Jacoby. This is Christian from Houston. Shout out 713. Shout out Reggie Lynch. Gotta represent. I got a quick soft move, a boss move, slash cultural, regional, or personal question for y'all. Now, my little brother, he's half black, half Mexican, looks more like Jalen than Jacoby, though. But he does this thing where around his own crib and when it was just him and I, he would just walk around in his underwear. And I remember his father used to do the same thing, like before he was born. He never really saw him do it, but I noticed he did the same thing. And then as I saw my little brother growing up and older, he started doing the same thing. And I'm like, what is going on here? And so I noticed that I never did that. Our oldest brother never did that. And he's Mexican. I'm Puerto Rican. So I'm wondering, is it cultural, regional, personal, soft move, boss move to just walk around the crib with your underwear on and nothing else? Anyway, love you guys. Been listening to y'all since the Rose Report. Keep getting them checks. Deuces.
Christian from Houston,
love,
that's a great question.
Love him.
Great question.
So much. Big shout out, Christian.
Because there's a lot of different types of people in the world when it comes to, I keep my clothes on from outside people. I change into pajamas. I change into workout clothes. I change into comfortable clothes. I change into my robe. Or I just walk around the crib in my underwear. So, Jalen, question for you is cultural, regional, and what is your coming in from outside to the crib knowing you're not going to leave again outfit?
So this is a loaded question. Big shout to Houston. So, like, usually the man that chooses to walk around the house naked sets the tone. And that's not necessarily about being naked. It's more about marking my territory. It's more, and this is cultural, by the way, letting the rest of the house know I'm the one that's working 40 hours a week. So therefore, I can do what I want to do. Kind of like Bing Rames and Baby Boy, right? It's not about the necessarily like being naked part. It's more like I'm the man of the house and I'm the lion. I'm the king of the jungle. And so it's just more like, you know, my uncles used to do that stomach out, pot belly out, you know, brief draws on, going back and forth to the bathroom, blowing up the bathroom, like Pops on Friday. Like, it's more that. It's because we don't get that same love we believe from the family that we deserve. Now, by the way, this is speaking as somebody that never met his father. My mother played that dual role. She was my mother and my father. But for those out there that are dual parent households, and I can't wait to ask your opinion of this, Jacoby, time and time again, the male friends that I have, that I see, when a son or a daughter has a great achievement, they do exactly what mama's boy Jalen Rose did. They say, hi, mom. I watch a lot of sports. I think it's 98% to 2% when I hear somebody say, hi, mom versus hi, dad. Somebody put a microphone to their face. What do you think about that, Matt?
Well, I think a lot of times you're watching male sports. I think there's always a special relationship between sons and moms and daughters and fathers.
I've had it. I love it.
Yeah. And
I love it.
And that's overwhelming majority of single parent homes where it's the mom who raises the kids. There's not too many single parent homes where it's the father who raises the kids.
Now, that obviously exists. So now you're getting to my overarching point. So for those families that do have a man that's making those sacrifices, he knows what you just said. So he walking around the crib naked, dog.
I walk around. What's happening with me is I walk around the crib in my underwear a lot, but my kids are getting older and they're starting to like be like grossed out by it. You know what I mean? It's like, yo, like put some clothes on, dad. And I'm like, all right, all right, fine. But when my kids were younger, I was definitely walking around. And also, I live in an apartment building now, so people can see in my crib. I don't like that, so I put the shades down a lot.
Right.
But sometimes the sun will go down, and next thing you know, you get the lights on inside, so you're all like on display for the neighbors. So for that reason, I'll either put the blinds down or put like a little undershirt on or something like that. But one thing that I really have to mention, Jalen Rose, is we have a new sponsor called Grainger. And what we're going to do is we're going to highlight someone who's getting it done every single week. And this week is special as we start this off because I want to say someone who's getting it done. Pablo Torre. You're interested. Oh, he's not an athlete because Pablo Torre hosts ESPN Daily. And him and his staff did like months of research for a special episode about my brother and co-host Jalen Anthony Rose and his name Jalen and the influence of Jalen and all of the Jalens in the drafts and all of the Jalens that have come since. And it is an extremely well done episode. They put a lot of time and effort into it. And what you obviously were interviewed for it. And what did you learn through this process without spoiling the whole thing for the people that want to listen to this?
I basically learned that the name got popular as I was playing at the University of Michigan. That's where the name skyrocketed.
Mm-hmm.
I also learned that there is a gentleman that's 2 years older than me, a white guy named Jalen. And I believe his mom name is Jackie, and his father name is Alan.
Mm-hmm.
So he got it honest. And it's only right that I got mine the way I did. And one being clearly my actual biological father, but then the combination of my uncle, because my father wasn't in my life. And so that was a revelation for me. But I first want to thank Pablo. I want to thank his staff. Woodyard, I believe, is another one of the writers. It took a lot of time and energy to interview parents, to interview Jalen's, to do a deep dive. And I just want them to know that's not just a podcast for me. That's not just a column for me. That's my mother's legacy in so many ways, because that's going to outlive clearly her and I. And now it's on wax the true influence that she's had by creating that name to where it now has become a common name. And then lastly, we work in the sports business, Jacoby, and you and I joke all of the time about when Joseph Sikora comes on the show, we let him know that being a member of Power, that's a championship.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you want a championship.
You got a banner in the rafters ringing your finger.
You see what I'm saying? If it's up to me, I'll be here another 55 years. But I also know by her creating the name, I popularized the name, which means people had to like, appreciate, respect, or value anything about me, because names are symbols. And I don't have to tell you how long and hard, I'm pretty sure you and your wife thought about why you were gonna name each of your kids.
Mm-hmm.
So anybody that's ever gone through that process, you're not gonna name your kid after the boogeyman or Bin Laden or somebody that you just don't like, don't respect. And so the overarching theme that has happened with that name, because James or Jason wouldn't have hit the same, is that's become the greatest championship of all time that I could be grateful for.
And it'll live forever. And it's such a great name. And they really did a deep dive and found the data and everything. And basically, every Jalen is beget of Jalen Rose. Like, you are the butterfly wing that started the hurricane of Jalen's that we're now seeing all throughout society and sports. And you don't, and it's also a really good example of, you don't have to be the actual scientific first to be the reason. You know what I mean? Like, sure, there's some guy in Florida who was named Jalen before you, but you're the reason that all of the Jalens are in the world, because that is your namesake and it does live on. And I want to thank Pablo Torre for absolutely getting it done, putting together that episode. You can see it, listen to it on ESPN Daily. He is getting it done. And this segment is brought to you by Grainger, for the ones who get it done. Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, backed by 24/7 support and access to product experts. Call us. Click Grainger.com/Jacoby. Or just stop by. Again, that is Grainger, Grainger.com/Jacoby.
Jacoby, I want to teach you one thing that goes by, and that was well said about birthing the name. I appreciate that, and I appreciate the love and your support. Ain't no me without you. You're my brother. And I want to put a pin, I want to put an exclamation point on what you just said. Do you know who Jeffrey Daniel is?
No. Wasn't okay. Jeff Daniels in Step Brother? One of the actors in Step Brothers?
and not the one that I think 50 Cent or somebody was looking for some money from. Okay. To everybody out there, I don't want to derail the conversation. Jeffrey Daniel is a member of Charlamagne. Charlamagne's from Michigan. That group became DeBarge. Jeffrey Daniel was the first person to moonwalk. He actually taught Michael Jackson how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But when somebody says, who created the moonwalk? The answer is actually Jeffrey Daniel. But people are going to say Michael Jackson because he popularized it.
Same thing with Ball Don't Lie. Rasheed Wallace gets credit for Ball Don't Lie. I don't know why.
Good point.
Anyone who's playing ball before Rasheed Wallace was at North Carolina was saying Ball Don't Lie.
Exactly.
Already, yeah. And like Rondo gets credit for the fake behind the back pass. I'm like, I don't know.
I'm going to tell you who I blame for that, for real. I blame Jeff Van Gundy for that. I told him this too. Him and Mark. I'm like, y'all on TV acting like Rasheed the first person to say that. Y'all know people been saying that for 50 years.
Yeah, they should both know better because they both who.
Yeah, I'm like, y'all know better.
Yeah, well, shout to Grainger for joining up and our list of sponsors. We appreciate them so much.
Jeff Van Gundy, sponsor, supporter of JRLA.
It's great. Love that. Jalen, we will be back tomorrow to give your thoughts on what the Lions did and the breakdown, everything else that happened in the first round of the NFL draft. I'm very excited for Jalen to be crying all throughout tomorrow's show because the Lions trade back to the mid-first round and picked up a linebacker that they're never going to hear from again. You know that's how it's going to go. We'll be back tomorrow. Why is that, Jalen Rose?
We're not done. We are not done.